The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt the Bud Knight.
And I am Sir Jimmy the Cleaned Out. Welcome to our Song of Ice and Fire book club today. We are into some TV show news about Aegon's conquest. Matt, you back to being the Bud Knight though.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. It just happened. I kind of forgot that I was supposed to come up with a name there for a quick second. And I was like, oh yeah, I guess I better come up with something. You know, I was watching the Super Bowl. Everybody was drinking Bud Light. And
You know what? You got to keep them guessing, dude. Sometimes a throwback. It's like a retro jersey, right? It just feels good.
Yeah. I mean, will the Bud Knight come back? Maybe that's what Budweiser needs, you know? Bring back the Bud Knight.
I would love to see the Bud Knight come back, dude.
It was great. It was a great thing. So we'll see. But hey, you know what, Jimmy? We're here today because before we dive into the show news real quick, man. Are you doing okay? How are you doing, man?
Well, I'm the cleaned out, Matt, because I had a colonoscopy.
Ooh.
I was having some issues and colon cancer runs in my family. So we decided I should probably go to the doctor. I went to the doctor, and he wasn't thrilled with the things he was seeing, and he made an expedited colonoscopy. Supposed to wait to end of April, possibly, to get this colonoscopy, and he was like, no, we're going to do it in 2 days. So you have to start fasting today. And I'm like, what? You know, and that's when we were supposed to record last week. So for everyone who wonders why, you know, maybe there was a missing, it's my fault. I don't do well with doctors. I also don't do well going under. I went under for my knee surgery back in 2016. And I didn't know this, but there are a select amount of people who actually suffer like post-anesthesia depression. And I was one of those people, and it really messed up my life. I think also being injured and having to retire from pro wrestling probably also had something to do with my mental health. But I was very nervous. I know it's just a routine thing. But also, I didn't know what they were going to find. Right. So they ended up going in, rubber banding some of them roids off there. But they also did take out some polyps, and they're sending them off biopsy. So I'll have more information next week. But I think I'm okay. But man, I'm gonna tell you what, dude. The fasting and the lax, none of it was fun.
None of it was fun.
I didn't like any of it.
Yeah, you know, last year, Jimmy and I, it just felt like, man, once I hurt my back, which was about a year ago today, because it happened the day before the Super Bowl.
That was a year.
I know. Crazy. Man, and then ever since then, Jimmy and I, this whole just been wild.
Falling apart.
This whole year, scheduling has been crazy. And I, you know, I'm having a baby here soon. So there's probably going to be 2 weeks where the show's just off. Early April.
I might have to carry the banner for a little bit, and that's okay.
Yeah, early April, we're in all these parenting classes, and they're telling you, hey, like those first like 2 weeks, you're getting like 2 hours of sleep. You're getting like an hour of sleep, you know, like a couple times a day. So, you know, just so you know, guys, bear with us with the schedule here as we figure it out. But with that, we do have some big news that kind of came out over the weekend. Aegon's conquest is happening. We are getting an Aegon's conquest TV show, and it comes to us through the Hollywood Reporter here. I'll get this pulled up.
They always seem to be the ones that break this Game of Thrones news. Like George must have.
It seems like, and it's always, I've always found like often too, like a lot of Warner Brothers stuff. I feel like it's broken through them first. Like not even like specifically like Warner Brothers stuff. I mean, and then it seems like Deadline, some of those other, they must have like more ties with Disney and some. So it seems like, and like Variety is another one. It seems like they all have kind of like their best sources are with like the different companies or whatever. But here we go. So Game of Thrones, Aegon's Conquest, spinoff in the works from the Batman Part 2 writer, which is Madison Tomlin. Says HBO is developing another Game of Thrones spinoff series. The company is actively heating up its long discussion Aegon's Conquest ideas. HBO is partnering with Madison Tomlin as an in-demand scribe who did uncredited work on Matt Reeves' The Batman and is co-writing the upcoming sequel, The Batman Part 2. He also wrote the Keanu Reeves action comic adaptation, BRZK Berserker, I think is what it's called. Mm-hmm. Animated Terminator series, which he's a showrunner for, that's going to be on Netflix. Aegon's Conquest is basically a direct prequel to the hit House of the Dragon, telling the story of the Targaryen's bloody and brutal conquest of Westeros. The story follows the invader Aegon Targaryen, who conquered the continent of Westeros with his sister wives, Rhaenys and Visenya, and their dragons. Aegon successfully unified six of the seven kingdoms in just 2 years, with Dorne, you know, the only one who was able to resist. One source described the project as taking a back-to-basics approach for George R. R. Martin's epic fantasy universe, though considering the first series was sprawling and complex, it's unclear what back-to-basics means exactly in the Thrones context. Variety previously reported Aegon's Conquest as an idea in discussion early last year. Remember, that was like when we got a little bit of like the Snow ideas and some of the other things that may be talked about. Since Thrones concluded in 2019, there have been many prequels, and one sequel idea put in development, but none are, some are considered no longer active, though HBO prefers not to say any option is completely off the table. That's something George R. R. Martin said, as many of his blog posts that we've talked about. The efforts have spawned two greenlit shows, House of the Dragon, which second season comes out later this year, and A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, The Hedge Knight, which starts production this year and is based on the Dunk and Egg series. So HBO had no content, and it just kind of, and that's basically it. So I thought we'd take today, Jimmy, to talk a little bit about Aegon's Conquest, what we think it might look like how many seasons it could be, and what we should get. So the only thing we know about it so far, right, this show is it's coming. There's no mention of Ryan Condell. There's really no mention of even George R. R. Martin. Madison Tomlin, I will say, if he worked on Matt Reeves' Batman, I loved the Batman. That's the Twilight, Harry Potter actor. How am I blanking on his name? Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
Robert Pattinson Batman, which to me is actually, it has become my favorite Batman movie. And I'm like a diehard Batman fan. I like it even more than The Dark Knight. If it's coming from some of the people that worked on that, I'm so down for this.
Yeah. All right. So here's the thing. I always will remain optimistic until I need to not be, like until I see evidence otherwise. Ryan Condell can't do everything, right?
Exactly.
He can't do everything all at once. And who knows what else he has lined up. And I'm sure he's going to do things outside of Thrones as well. The lack of George R. R. Martin's mention is one of the things that could potentially be a red flag to me, but not to where I'm throwing it up and saying that this is terrible. No. There's also a chance that this is in such, and this is a green light in the sense of like, let's start seeing what this would look like, right? This is not, this show's coming out for three seasons. Like, this isn't a confirmation. They still have to do a pilot, get that, Blood Moon or The Long Night or whatever the series was called, got all the way through the pilot and ended up getting tossed. So this is super preliminary still.
Game of Thrones almost got tossed.
That's right. Yeah, they had to reshoot the pilot. Apparently the first one was almost ridiculously laughable how bad it was. So my point is like, before we have such strong feelings about this being the best thing ever or the worst thing ever, and it's turning into a star, like, this is so preliminary. We have heard about YT, other shows, The Voyages, Nymeria, everything, right? So with that said, I would hope that George would be somewhat involved in this. What I could see this meaning, and when they said back to basics, I think that what that could mean is House of the Dragon is a historical sweeping epic narrative with time jumps, a whole lot of family drama, and a little bit less about the outside of the family drama. I think Aegon's conquest is a return to basics. And what they mean by that is that the entire realm is at play here. We're going to be seeing people in Harrenhal. We're going to be seeing Winterfell. All of the major houses will have represented players that will be playing major parts on it. And while it will focus on Targaryens, it's really more about Westeros. Now, House of the Dragon Civil War affects Westeros as a whole. That's undoubted, like obvious, right? But it's really more about this family who has been reigning with dragons since the conquest, coming into a new era where they will lose said dragons. It is the beginning of the downfall of the Targaryen dynasty. So I think that's what they mean. I think that's what they mean is like you have someone coming to shore, you know, trying to essentially take over, which is not the best. And then how does that affect the rest of the realm? So, for instance, in a Game of Thrones, we see that Daenerys is eventually going to come her way over. We also have people taking stake to the claim. I actually understand what they mean by return to basics. I think it's going to be a lot more about the house drama, who's aligning with who, and then going from there. I'm not saying House of the Dragon doesn't have that, but I think the more of the focus is honestly the downsides of royalty. I think that's, you know, fairly obvious if you watch House of the Dragon. So I think that that's kind of what they mean. Maybe a little bit more of a linear moment by moment narrative that's a lot more intimate. I think that that's what we would most likely see. There's going to be action, but I think it's going to be a lot more about dealing with this kind of invasion and then aligning and everything else. There's also a lot of cool stuff with the faith that we're going to see, right? Because the Targaryens do some things that are not flying with the Septons. They're not down with that. So you have this entire cultural piece to the conquest that I think is really, really fascinating. And also something that you're always going to have to deal with when it comes to an invasion or colonialism or whatever. So I like the idea of this. Will they add things and flesh more things out? Without a doubt. Will those things be good? I have no idea. But I like the talent that's behind the idea so far, like you said, with the Batman. I think that that movie was very well received, very well shot. I think it got certainly some of the tones of Batman that maybe some of the other creators in that, you know, series has missed, which makes me happy. And this is someone who has adapted things, has worked with source material. All these things tell me that cautiously optimistic is not a terrible approach to have. What do you think?
Yeah, I would say that, like you said, one of the things with George R. Martin's involvement in this is often he will come out after something has been announced and do one of his, you know, not a blog,
yeah,
blog posts and confirm it. And we haven't had that yet, but that he hasn't written one in a couple of days. So that's not to say that he won't. So I would certainly keep an eye out for that. Because he came out pretty quickly after like Snow and some of these other things were announced, sort of like leaked again by the Hollywood Reporter and Variety and these sources, and kind of confirmed it to just at least say, hey, this is one of the things that we've talked about. Because if you go back, I think it was like 2021 or something like that, when he had said, hey, there are several things in production right now, with House of the Dragon being the one that we actually knew about and everything, and there are others on the table as well. And then that ended up leaking a little bit more. He ended up saying Snow was one of them, right?
Yeah.
And after it was leaked and announced that Snow is in development, and one of those things, like, oh, so now you go back to that blog post and you think about it. So this is likely one of the ones. I mean, this, even if this wasn't one of the ones, this is kind of the one that everybody just as fans knows is one of the bigger stories you're going to tell. To be honest, there's really not that many. I mean, if you think of like post Game of Thrones, like what stories are you going to tell going back? It's like, okay, well, you have like the Blackfyre Rebellion, which is the next big thing after House of the Dragon, which the Dance of the Dragons is another one. Then you have like Harrenhal, Duncan Egg, and then kind of like Aegon's Conquest. Robert's Rebellion. And then you go back to like the Long Night Age of Heroes stuff, which they tried and it didn't necessarily go the way they wanted. If anything, I actually think this could be a good jumping point. I know they said they want to get back to basics, which might be that more political drama, but this is kind of the one which might actually help open up more of the Game of Thrones lore, mysticism.
Yeah, because magic, we're talking about further back, right?
The Doom of Valyria. The Doom of Valyria is what kicks this whole thing off, is Valyria, where all these dragon lords and everything, that's where they're all from. It explodes and we don't know what's from it. And a lot of people think there's like magic and R'hllor and all that stuff. So
yeah,
exactly. So if you can kind of tie some of that in to this show, even like maybe you do it the way you did in Game of Thrones with the White Walkers, where you see them every, you know, once in a while, and it's like, oh, you know, magic and everything is a big part of this as well. That could help open up shows that take place in the Long Night, because that was the thing we talked about with the Long Night show, Blood Moon, being like, man, I don't know. It's kind of a, like, it is kind of a departure. And that's why we felt like House of the Dragon was the perfect place to go, because it's going to feel more like Game of Thrones, because it's like a political drama. There just happens to be more dragons involved.
Yeah. And also it has its own identity of being that historical epic, right? Like this
exactly.
is in world historical epic, which is already kind of like a cool right. thing to think about. But this is, I think, a little bit closer possibly to the original show. But you're right, there's a lot of things that we can start to tie in, and they are going to. Aegon's prophecy, clearly George said that was a thing back in what, 2016 or whatever.
Yeah, it was. And we're going to get this, which we never thought was a thing.
Yeah. So and we have to keep in mind there's TV show lore, there's book lore. They are separate. And I think that they're going to carry that through line, which is totally fine with me. I don't mind it at all. But we are going to hear about little things about the Doom. And I think getting answers to some of the stuff is okay. There are things I really want to stay hidden forever. There are things that I actually don't want the answers to, because it's more fun for like you and I to kind of wonder about these things and draw conclusions. But there's going to be some answers here that could be really interesting, like even just little tidbits from Valyria or Aegon's prophecy. One of the things that I immediately think of is the missing crown and what Dorne sends back as a message to Aegon that gives him pause to stop the war. We've always said, what was in, like, what was that? I hope right. they don't answer that. Like, that's literally when I think about this show, the one worry I have. I'm like, I hope they don't answer. I want to forever wonder about that. You know, it keeps right. the series fresh in many ways. But man, like I said, there's cultural issues that you could attack with this. But also on top of that, seeing these houses back before there was a regent ruling them, that's a different mm-hmm. Westeros that we have never seen on screen. We have never seen that. House of the Dragon. Still has a regent, right?
So, and you're also going to have like, you know, something I'm actually trying to think about. You don't really have like a good love triangle story in Game of Thrones or House of the Dragon. I mean, of like, and like, you will have that here. That's going to be like kind of the main romantic.
They're definitely going to ham it up a little bit, because like, for really sure. the sisters aren't at each other's throats. At least that was my interpretation.
They're, yeah. The way it kind of comes across is they both in a way sort of like politically play, like they don't play each other, but they both kind of play Aegon for what they want.
Yeah. It's a competition in some ways to get what they want. The thing about the Targaryens of Aegon's conquest time that is different from a lot of the Targaryens, even House of the Dragon, is that we have to remember the Targaryens are at their highest form of arrogance, right? Mm-hmm. We have left this land. We were correct with our dragon dreams about the Doom of Valyria and these other, there's all these other dragon lords. And now we are the ones who have survived, right? They are like, they know they're special. They are closer to a lot of the mysticism. They've seen crazier things. So I think, for like the two sister, if they turn it into this big, like, you know, like very right. Hollywood-esque thing, I'm sure there will be some of this without a doubt. And, you know, whatever, that's the human element of it. But the Targaryens believe in the Targaryen name and the supremacy, which is why they're coming to a foreign land and saying, we will now rule you, which is a crazy thing to do. Whereas in House of the Dragon, you know who the only person who feels like this is Daemon. And Daemon is insane. So, you know, that's the kind of Targaryens we're talking about now. We're not talking about Daenerys. We're not even talking about any of the ones in House of Dragon other than Daemon. We're talking about, like, these are the root of Targaryens. They are proud.
So here's some questions for you. Does it, like, you could do almost season one. Do you do season one, like, before Valyria? Like, does the Doom happen at the end of season one?
It could.
Do you start after the Doom of Valyria?
Well, they flee before the doom hits, right? Like they are gone.
Right.
Doom hits. I think word of the doom hitting has to be in the show. I think it would be season one. A bigger question though, and this is going to tell what type of story this is. Is this a miniseries? Is it a 6-episode series? We came, we saw, we conquered, moved on. Or are we going to get 3-4 seasons and really flush out and add in a lot of the house drama of the allegiances and, you know,
stuff. Yeah, I mean, do you want to include Aegon's like reign? Because I think like when he dies, like it's kind of an interesting way to do it. You could end the show with him being coronated and you're like, and now the Targaryen dynasty kicks off. Or you could end with his death tying into like his dream and everything and going that, which then also kind of kicks off the whole like, flip a coin, Targaryens are good or bad.
I want Maegor.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So because then his two kids kind of go at it and are like, you know, kind of warring a little bit. And so because, yeah, Maegor gets passed over and he feels like he should be the. So I don't think they're going to go into their reign or anything, but I mean, yeah. So it's kind of, you do have kind of two good places to end the show.
Yeah, this show could be a lot of different things. I mean, we remember me and you actually talked about it being a movie trilogy, in theaters, big blockbuster.
Yeah,
seems
like that's off the table now.
It is, well, but hey, we've seen movies turn into TV shows with Skywalker or whatever. What was it called?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know. Whatever it was.
Mandalorian, they brought him over in Ahsoka.
Kenobi. The Kenobi show. Wasn't that supposed to be a movie? Right. So maybe. I would say it's unlikely, though. You're correct. So we were thinking a movie, big spectacles, high drama, kind of get to the point. Whereas, like, you know, this is a 6-episode, 8-episode, 1-season deal. I mean, we're going to arrive, conquer, and kind of leave. It'll be very action-based. But if they say, hey, we're going to really go through this and take our time and show you how the Targaryens came into power, you could get a couple seasons out of this, and they're going to add storylines and they're going to do things, but that doesn't mean it's all going to be bad. You know, a lot of the stuff that we added in Early Thrones was fantastic and amazing. So very curious, very, very curious what kind of show this guy wants to make and what story he wants to tell and how he wants to tell it.
Yeah. It's going to be, like you said, it's going to be interesting. Another thing we've talked about is one of the things George has said, George Martin has said, and you and I have sort of agreed upon is, we don't want too much stuff at once. And even Disney has now said, like, we have to scale back.
Yeah.
Because, like, to me, Disney kind of, you know, post Avengers Endgame, man, they really kind of, it was just too much with Marvel. It's like, it's too hard to keep track. They were doing a Marvel show like every other month. It was like Marvel and Star Wars were bouncing back.
Yeah, it's incredibly important to keep these shows contained yet slightly connected. I think House of the Dragon has done a fantastic job of giving the through line early in the show and saying, you know, kind of watch this, but you can watch House of the Dragon without watching Game of Thrones, without a doubt. You know?
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You might have a couple of details that don't pay off or something, but like for the most part, it's a contained show. I had a friend who said this, and I think it's so true because like there's always the concern, like, is this turning into Star Wars? Is it turning into Marvel? George has mentioned those as examples of how they want to kind of build out a universe, which I'm so sick of hearing that word. But my friend said, like, let's not jump the show. You know, let's not jump the show. This isn't Star Wars. Right. Star Wars has 40 years of it being abused. And I mean, how many books and these things, canon, not canon, all this stuff. Right. So I don't think we need to worry about this. I also don't believe, and I'm not foolish enough to believe, the Game of Thrones spinoffs are going to be as big as the Marvel movies. The Marvel movies are ridiculous. Like, they're so big. I don't think we're going to see 3 Game of Thrones shows on, you know, a Song of Ice and Fire shows on television at one time.
Right.
I think, but me and you kind of talked about this, but like we could see like 2025, 2026, Dunkin' Egg, right around House of the Dragons kind of ending. And then an Aegon Conquest show. I mean, we might be talking about 2028. So,
right. It may replace House of the Dragon because right now it's House of the Dragon season 2 is coming out this year. they're filming Duncan Egg, and Duncan Egg is supposed to air next year. So it's kind of on a pace of like one show a year. We may see Aegon's Conquest like season one, like the same year as one of those other projects, but it's going to be no more than two a year. I don't think we would get like, I definitely don't think we'd ever hit the point of Marvel where, I mean, there's literally one year where there was a Star Wars and Marvel show going on like at the same time. And it's like, dude, this is like, it's too much. And I mean, it was like She-Hulk and I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. And, yeah, and also, Captain America, Falcon, Winter Soldier show. And it was all at once. Yeah, it's too much.
We also have to keep in mind that what we're talking about is very different than like a Marvel or even a Star Wars. This is a medieval fantasy show, a dynasty drama for a lot of it. And that is something that there's not a ton of on television. You know what I mean? Whereas like right. a Marvel show, they all can be very different, but they still connect back to that lore of superheroes and whatever the connected universe might be. I still think there's an appetite for good fantasy shows after a lot of them have failed. And yeah. I think as long as the shows are good television shows, whether book lovers are happy or not, as long as it's good TV, that's what matters. Like, that's really what people give a shit about. So,
I mean, right now, that is the other advantage. Right. Right now, other than House of the Dragon coming up, I mean, what fantasy shows are there? I mean,
it's
like,
really Wheel of Time. I mean, it's Wheel of Time.
I mean, yeah, like Rings of Power did not do nearly as well as they'd hoped. And The Witcher is like not going to have Henry Cavill. Like that's going to be a flop. Like Shadow and Bone, canceled. A lot of these other, yeah, canceled. A lot of these other shows just didn't even pull it. I don't think Vikings, I mean, you know, that's like its own thing being a Viking, but it's not on anymore. And other than House of the Dragon. And I'm like, I watched season two Wheel of Time and I thought it sucked. And I was like, and that's coming from somebody who was like hardcore in.
Yeah, I mean, you even had a podcast about it at one point, right?
Yeah. I was like, man, I was like full bore. This is awesome.
I remember. Yeah, you gave it all. I mean, here's the thing about, I will say about Wheel of Time. Based on what Amazon's saying, it was a hit.
Yeah, I think I think it will continue on. I think they viewed season two as a hit. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll continue on. So you got Wheel of Time, but it's also taken 2 to 3 years to get a season of that. So what I'm trying to say is there's a lot of dead air. There's a lot of years where things aren't happening. I don't think it's the biggest deal in the world if we even rotated like the last two seasons of House of the Dragon with like the first two seasons of Duncan Egg or something like that.
Right.
And we don't know what Duncan Egg is going to look like, by the way. It might just be the Hedge Knight and that's the end of the show. We do not know. Anything.
It could be a one season thing.
I don't think so either. But one thing that I think is a little bit interesting is remember when House of the Dragon first came out and Ryan Condell said, who knows, maybe this will become an anthology show where like House of the Dragon covers different eras. I guess that's dead. That's my vibe. I get the vibe that idea is done.
Yeah, I do too. Although, I mean, you could continue it, like, but it's not going to go back. Like if House of the Dragon were to continue, it would be the Blackfyre Rebellion.
Yes, it would be Blackfyre Rebellion. And then you could lead it into Robert's Rebellion with like kind of the end. You know what I mean? You could still do that.
Yeah. The only thing about that is, and I think they should almost do this anyway, is I would almost do, I mean, this is why, you know, with the Aegon's Conquest thing, it's like, to me, when you do Aegon's Conquest, it opens the door more to me to go back and do like Age of Heroes stuff. Cause now you've got like, I mean, you're talking like super dragons, right? I mean, like,
we're talking about Mammoth Giant. Like, I mean, we're talking about fantasy.
Yeah. Like real fantasy. You're talking about the Doom of Valyria and all that stuff that existed before. So like, and R'hllor might be a huge part of it.
The wall being built.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can go like super far back. The House of the Dragon to me opens the door more for the Blackfyre Rebellion because it's kind of the same thing. It's another big, huge war. But then you also have Duncan Egg, which is really Blackfyre Rebellion because Dunk shuts down one of the Blackfyre Rebellions, and you're going to have that character Bloodraven, who's very important in the first Blackfyre Rebellion. And you're going to see the tales told of that one. So to me, that show seems like it would kind of connect that way, you know, but it kind of ends with, if it goes all the way, if Duncan Egg goes like 5-6 seasons and you want to do Summer Hall, well, it ties into Robert's Rebellion. I mean, so you're kind of in this good thing. The only issue is, and this is the big Star Wars issue, is the timeline. Star Wars, I think, has a big problem, and it always has, of, well, once you got past the movies, once you got past the George Lucas movies, anytime you want to do something, it's kind of confusing, even for me, who like understands it. And I think for the mainstream audience, they're always like, when does this take place? And you have to establish that like out of the gate, because it's like, okay, well, you've got The Mandalorian, which takes place like 10 years after Return of the Jedi, but it takes place like 20 years before the sequels movies, which just came out. Oh, and then there's Ahsoka, and she's tied, and she's like a big deal. And her show, well, it's also like at the same time as The Mandalorian this happened, but all these characters you're seeing, yeah, they're in this animated show called Rebels, which takes place like a couple years before the new A New Hope comes out. And it's just like, and then you got Bad Batch, this other cartoon that's going on at the same time, and it takes place like right after Episode 3, but like 20 years before, and it's like too much. So that's like a problem I hope Game of Thrones doesn't hit, where if you do start jumping around by having too many shows at once, which I think is the advantage of not doing that, you don't run into that like Star Wars problem.
I don't think this is happening because of the limited amount of stories that we have to tell. Now, what happens post George and post George's stories, right? We don't know. We can't speak to that, but for the stuff that's announced, I think it's fairly straightforward, and it's a benefit of George having a canon history to pull from, right? Whereas Star Wars, it was really like different creators jumping in and wanting to make stuff at different times and using different lore. Like, I've heard some of the books that weren't canon in Star Wars are now canon again. Like, they pulled it out of the graveyard.
And they've redone like character. It's like,
that's what I'm saying. We don't have the
word. For the average fan, it's crazy. And that's why I'm also fine with, you can do more stories, but I think, you know, I think the advantage of it is like the Corlys Velaryon thing. I'm not saying it couldn't be awesome, but I don't know that that needs to be a like big, you know, TV show. Like, they were originally talking about it. I think the idea of having it be animation is, when you do something like that, it then doesn't appeal to the mass audience.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like it has to be part of the big connected universe or whatever you want to call it. Whereas then it's like, yeah, you're going to get people who like animation and the diehard fans who do it, and you still get to tell that story, and you begin to like flesh out like this other side, and it feels kind of like off the side. It can be canon, it can be connected or whatever, but it doesn't feel like you have to go back and watch that, because a lot of people just won't. A lot of people just will not watch.
Oh, absolutely.
Animation. It's, again, the Star Wars thing, where it's like the Ahsoka show that came out, I mean, is Star Wars Rebels season 5, but people just don't want to go watch animated show because they feel like it's for kids. Like,
and also the animation in that show is like,
and it's confusing. It's confusing, right? Because like, yeah, I always reference my mom, who like is a hardcore binge streamer. She watched it and she's like, who are these people? And I have to like explain to her, I'm like, well, it's from this cartoon and stuff like that. And it's like, if that's the mainstream audience, the casual viewer who's like, who are these people? Like, what's going on? It's too confusing.
Yeah. And as much as us diehards like to think we're the center of this universe, it's actually all about the casual viewer.
It 100% is.
It's all about the casual
viewer. That's your core audience. Yeah.
And I don't say that in like a gatekeepy way, like where it's like, oh, let's look down on them. Like, I hope
the business,
because yeah, for if you want more stuff, or it, you know, it continues to get seasons and shows not canceled, you need that general audience, which is one thing I have always liked about our podcast, to put us over a little bit here. We have never said, you know, if you enjoyed this or that, then you're not welcome here. You know, we'll hear anyone's opinions, and everyone who has any attachment to this series, whether it be through the television show or, you know, the prequel or the books themselves, you know, you're welcome here. And that does make us a little bit different than some of the others. I know some people get a little annoyed with us because we do cover the television shows, but to us, you know, it's all Westeros, and there are going to be things about it we don't like and things that we do like, but we're going to talk about it all because, like, we're just obsessed with this thing.
Well, I look at the data. I know I get the emails. I our audience, the majority of people who listen to this podcast are people who watched Game of Thrones first and decided, hey, I want to go into the books.
Yeah. And
same thing with House of the Dragon. It's people who are like, hey, I want now, like, I liked what I saw, and now I want to get more.
Yeah. And I love that personally, because someone as I'm a very passionate reader. I have my book channel on YouTube. I always am saying whatever gets you into reading is like the best. And a lot of show watchers became readers, you know, and that's awesome.
I didn't even touch the books until I'd finished season three.
Yeah. And then you get to experience this in a whole different way. And I think this is kind of one of the things I want to bring up today. And I think it's a really good thing to consider. We know that George R. R. Martin is struggling to finish the series. We know that there is a good likelihood he will not finish the series. We have always speculated about who would finish it. Would he want someone to finish it? And we think his opinion's kind of changed on this, but I'm going to stick with what he has said, which is that he does not really want anyone to finish his series. So my opinion on this is that he loves the idea of there being a show canon and show lore, and that his stories can be told in that medium and it will never affect his written word. Mm-hmm. And I think that he's like, for Dunk and Egg Show, we've talked, this is his opportunity to finish Dunk and Egg without having to write them. And then therefore his work will always stand by itself in the, you know, prose form. Whereas like the visual medium will get to take his stuff and play with it and, you know, and then tell these stories. And then his sole piece of work remains untouched, which I think is important to him as an artist.
Right.
I think that might be the approach that George is taking with this. Maybe.
Well, and the advantage of that is you don't really have to ultimately finish it. I mean, even like George Lucas didn't finish Star Wars the way he wanted. He originally was like 1 through 9 is the whole deal. And he's released his, you know, what he thought the sequels would be and everything, and it's nothing like what we actually got. And if anything, he's the one who benefits from it, because anytime there's a problem in Star Wars, everyone's like, yep, George, nope, you should have listened to George Lucas, you should have done all this.
Both named George, which is kind of ironic.
It's the same thing. If a Game of Thrones thing comes out that George R. R. Martin isn't a part of, I mean, look at the last few seasons. Now, to be fair, a little bit, obviously, he was there. He could have said, you know, X, Y, and Z, and he hasn't finished the books. So there is a little bit of, there is obviously certainly is a little bit of difference there. And we do know that he's actually, like, you know, on the Game of Thrones, whatever. He has a contract to, like, have as an overseer and everything. But I think, you know, it benefits, because then you look at some of the other creators like J.K. Rowling. J.K. Rowling is like so involved in her stuff post Harry Potter sucked. I mean,
after her series.
I mean, she tried the Fantastic Beasts stuff. Those movies are awful. Like all three of those suck. There's just no other way to say it. I mean, especially the third one. The Secrets of Dumbledore is one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
I love that.
It's so bad. Like, there's just no, it's honest to God, one of the worst movies I've ever seen. It's so awful.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, I don't know. I just think there's something about George where he's saying, like, well, let's explore these ideas. Someone else can even interpret them, but at least my stuff will stay untouched and that will forever be mine and mine only. Maybe that's where it goes, but with the caveat that it does sound like he's changed his opinion a little bit about people finishing, because he's had some friends pass and he said, you know, now I'm thinking, like, what if someone could finish his work, and, you know, maybe that wouldn't be such a bad thing. So who knows? I mean, really. But I guess the point of this is like, Aegon's Conquest is on the table right now. It's not frozen. It's not on the shelf. It's actively being developed. Maybe it'll be excellent. I have way more faith in this than a Corlys Velaryon spinoff. I don't care that much about the Corlys Velaryon spinoff, but I'm willing to hear it out. Like, I would obviously watch it,
right?
But like,
do you have more faith in this than Snow?
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
do you think Snow we'll see it?
No, I think Snow's dead. I think
really
I think Snow's dead. Yeah. I think Kit Harington also is just kind of an odd guy. And I don't mean that like in a bad way, but I think he just goes through a lot of stuff of like who he wants to be, what he wants to portray. Because he's talked a lot about his mental health issues and he wants to, you know, and all that stuff.
Yeah, rehab issues. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just don't know what he wants out of this. And I also, you know, he might have went to George and showed it, and George might have been like, this is dog water, dude. Like, this sucks. Like, there's a chance that happened. So I don't think Snow's ever happening. I will say this, and this might be the most controversial thing. That would be the one I'd be most intrigued to see, because it is.
Because it's a game changer.
I mean, it's either going to be the worst thing that's ever happened, or it could be extraordinarily dope, right? Like, it's the highest risk, highest reward out of everything. So to me, I want to see it just to see what happens, but I also do know how bad it could be, and then dealing with that would suck. So I understand the trepidation around the show. I really do, but...
Maybe they need the Sagan the Conqueror show to come out first so they can tie it into Jon Snow.
Oh my God. What I want the most is an animated remake of the main story with all the magic put in, right. No, nothing cut for anything. I just want to see a true, super faithful adaptation animated. I don't think that'll happen for a while now.
I'm still clamoring for a Game of Thrones video game, but I don't know that we're gonna get one soon. So
yeah, what the hell? You know what it is though? The general audience doesn't play video games. Like the people who watch Game of Thrones,
last year they released, you know, Warner Brothers released the Harry Potter game, Hogwarts Legacy or whatever it's called, right? And it was the best selling video game of last year. And then this year their big game is Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League, and it's already going to be the worst game of the year. So,
Those fan bases are more likely to play video games. You know, right. My in-laws, who are massive Game of Thrones television show fans and watch House of the Dragon, they're never going to play. Actually, the Game of Thrones game on Facebook is exactly what they would play, and that's what they did. They made a Facebook game. So, you know, they're looking at these audiences and like the focus groups and stuff and saying, well, who's spending money on Thrones? And it turns out it's probably a lot of 45, 50 year old male females that like to drink wine.
Yeah. Well, it's streaming services too, why you're seeing more people go back to making movies, because they're like, hey, that's where there's more money in making movies than there is on streaming service, especially as all these companies are beginning to crack down on passwords sharing and like they're raising their prices. Disney lost when Disney raised their prices in November, I think is when they, since then they've lost a million people. They've lost over a million subscribers.
They lost me because I had it out of just,
like, I did too.
Out of just I'll get it. But then they messed up my bundle with Hulu and ESPN Plus, which I really just want ESPN Plus. For UFC, and I was like, "Well,
now that's gonna go by the wayside, because now they just said ESPN and Fox Sports are all gonna do something. They're gonna make like their own like Hulu."
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, and this is maybe the biggest concern with Aegon the Conqueror show and Duncan Egg and the House of the Dragon is just what's gonna happen right now, as a lot of media companies are selling rights and moving stuff around and acquisitions. I think that is the biggest threat to Westeros, not some crappy filmmaker.
Right. The biggest threats to Westeros is Warner Brothers Discovery.
Yeah, it is. Because I mean, HBO, as long as HBO can be HBO, there's like a 90% chance that the show is at least a 7 out of 10 for me. Like I watch HBO shows that I have no interest in, and I'm still impressed by them. Yeah. I'm like,
it's why they destroy the Emmys. I mean, they're like, they just walk in and like tell everyone to sit down. I mean, literally, if you go look at the Emmys every year, it's like HBO cleans house.
I love Westeros. I love A Song of Ice and Fire. HBO is as responsible for this being a huge success as George is for writing it. Because if it had been on Netflix or Hulu, it would have never been this. HBO helped make this.
For sure. Netflix is the other one where I think Netflix is,
there's a chance.
Yeah. As far as streaming goes, I think Netflix to me is their number. They're the clear number two.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, and Apple's doing I'm not saying there's another, but HBO has been proven for so long. And yes, there are duds, and yes, they cancel shows, but like, there's like a baseline.
They're consistent. For the most
part. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, with that, guys, yeah, I wanted to get in here. We had to talk about the news. Next week, we will be back, and it's going to be Sansa 3 of A Storm of Swords, which is also the that's the Tyrion-Sansa wedding.
Ooh.
Chapter.
The old shotgun wedding.
Yeah, and, you know, and yeah, basically, and I was reading that, and that's another one of those chapters that, man, yeah, it's one of those ones where sometimes it's like I wish we could get the chapter from the other person's perspective. Like I would love to see that. I would love to see that, like that chapter, but told as a Tyrion POV.
Yeah, I always wonder. I mean, George clearly thinks about why he picks the POV, and then I try to figure out why, like he did.
Yeah.
So when we read it, we should think about that. Like, why was it told through this POV rather than someone else's?
Yeah. So yeah, as I was reading it to get ready for this week, and then we got the news. So anyway, so yes, as always, we want to thank you for playing the Game of Thrones. Our next episode, we will be discussing A Storm of Swords, Sansa 3.
And if you like our podcast, don't forget to subscribe, like us, write a review, or leave us a comment, or send us a raven at btkcast@gmail.com or bendtheknee podcast.com.
We'll see you next time. And remember that winter is coming.